This is a special, unscheduled, almost emergency edition of the Ontario Family Law Podcast. The coronavirus has created a lot of uncertainty and questions for people. Some of those questions faced by separated parents are whether or not the children should still be able to see the other parent. In this special edition of the Ontario Family Law Podcast, I'm going to give some family law explanations in the hope it will assist separated parents in making the right decisions over these difficult times. I'm John Schumann, a certified specialist in family law in Ontario. I am also a mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer. This podcast is a companion to my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on the iBookstore, Amazon, Kobo, and at fine bookstores. The coronavirus crisis is having a profound impact on every aspect of our society. With all the significant changes in the way that everyone is living every aspect of everyday life, and all the new public health requirements, separated parents are having questions about whether they should continue to follow the current parenting schedule as set out in a parenting order or an agreement with their ex. All that is happening at a time when the Ontario court system is shut down and dealing with only the most desperate situations. As a result, there are no court decisions providing guidance about exactly what parents should do about their parenting schedules in the midst of this crisis. However, there are some established principles under our family laws that do provide some guidance. I am going to go over those principles to give some assistance to separated parents. However, I must note that parenting cases are the ones that are the most dependent on the particular facts of each case. Every family is unique, and so almost every parenting order that a judge makes is unique. There can be little things about the circumstances of your particular children or the history of your particular case that will make a big difference in how a judge will see things. Also, in times of stress and panic, it is possible the judge would not see things the same way you see them now, even after paying attention during this podcast. So while the podcast provides a lot of valuable information, the most valuable information you can get is from a lawyer who is knowledgeable about your specific circumstances.
Why don't you have your lawyer call my lawyer?
If you have concerns about whether to continue to follow your existing parenting agreement or court order, then you should speak to your lawyer for advice. If you do not have a lawyer, you can speak to my assistant Hannah at 416-446-5807 and she will endeavor to get you into contact with one of the lawyers at my office. We are able to set up consultations at reduced rates by telephone and video conference to avoid the transmission of the virus. If you are a separated parent, then you almost certainly have parenting arrangements in place before the coronavirus crisis. If you are wondering whether the coronavirus crisis means you have to stop following those arrangements, or whether doing so gets you into serious legal trouble, you need to carefully consider how family law applies to the situation. In all cases involving children, the overriding principle is what is in the best interest of the children. So the question you have to ask is whether or not it is in the children's best interest to change the current parenting arrangements. Obviously, with the encouragement from public health officials to limit contact with other people, it seems like it might be in the children's best interest to stay in one spot and have contact with as few people as possible. Obviously, it would not be in the children's best interest to engage in any activity that could put them at risk of infection. That certainly has impacted what parents are doing with their children on a daily basis throughout this crisis. However, the current view of parenting professionals and judges is that having contact with both parents is important to a child's sense of well-being and healthy development. This means that seeing both parents is also in the child's best interest. Children suffer when deprived of contact with one of their parents. They suffer even more when there is conflict between their parents over things like the schedule. So disturbing the current parenting arrangement without your ex's agreement could lead to some serious situations and repercussions, perhaps even some serious consequences imposed by a judge down the road. To summarize the decision that parents have to make, it is it in the children's best interest to remain isolated with one parent so as to avoid the chance of infection, or is it in the children's best interest to spend time with both parents, even if that means they will come into contact with other people? Again, a lot depends on the specifics of the situation. If the children go from one asymptomatic parent to the other asymptomatic parent through a method of travel that does not involve them coming into contact with a lot of people, and both parents are not going to engage in behaviors that are currently considered risky or that could result in the spread of the virus, then there may be no reason to change the current arrangements at all.
Oh.
If you and your ex can be cooperative, even creative, it may be possible to make changes to the parenting arrangement to benefit the children.
Ah.
Perhaps changing the current arrangements is in the children's best interest. Yay! If separated parents can make those changes together, judges are happy. For example, with the disruptions to workplaces, It may be that one parent has more ability to look after the children, especially at the time the other parent continues to have to go to work. This can be especially important with schools and daycares closed. Through cooperation, parents can also make adjustments to their schedules to minimize the number of people with whom their children come into contact, and thereby reduce the chances of transmission of the virus. Similarly, to avoid the children being exposed to infection, it may be beneficial to adjust the schedule to reduce the number of times the children go back and forth between parents so that the children have fewer opportunities to be exposed. Another consideration at this time is that some parenting arrangements have the children being exchanged between parents at a public place with other people around. In the current situation, that is not recommended. You and your ex will want to do the exchange of the children at a place away from other people, so you may need to change where you do it. If there are ongoing safety concerns, and that is the reason why your exchanges are happening where they are, then you will need to still make some changes in the location to keep yourself away from other people. But you will want to do it in a place where you are still visible so that nothing stupid can happen. Perhaps you have to move to a place that is further away from other people, but still has people close enough around so that they can notice any difficulty from a distance. Perhaps you will have to move your meetings to be in the vicinity of a police station or some place else where people can intervene if something goes wrong, even if those other people are at a distance during the exchange itself. Remember, the thing that you should be concerned about is the best interest of your child when making these arrangements. When one parent is worried about his or her ability to keep the children safe from infection, then it may be possible for the children to make contact with both parents over FaceTime, Skype, or other video conferencing or other methods of communication. For example, parents could still interact with the kids by playing video games that allow players to play together from different locations. Parents have to balance all the considerations to determine what is in their children's best interest. Obviously, things become more difficult when one parent decides that he or she does not want to follow the advice of public health officials, or when a parent insists on engaging in other risky behavior at this unusual time. Chances are that if a parent is going to engage in risky behavior now, they probably have engaged in it before, and the parenting arrangements take that into account. If the parenting arrangements do take that type of behavior into account, then there may be no change necessary. However, if a parent is insisting on engaging with the children in activities that are clearly not in the children's best interest, in light of the advice and information from our public health officials, then a parent may have to insist on changing the arrangements. In every situation before the current one, any good family lawyer would advise a parent to get into court and get permission to make changes to a parenting schedule rather than doing it unilaterally. Judges expect people to obey court orders. There are very few circumstances in which a judge will find that deliberately breaching a court order is okay. Judges can throw people in jail when they deliberately go against court orders. Judges can also expect parents to respect and follow their parenting agreements. Unfortunately, with the courts closed to only the most desperate cases, it may not be possible to go to court to get that permission or deviate from the last court order or agreement. In the last episode, I detailed how procedures like family arbitration or parenting coordination may give parents a procedure to resolve these types of agreements.
Oh.
While both parents have to agree to those mechanisms, suggesting to an ex that it would be a good idea to have an impartial professional weigh on what would be in the children's best interest will show the court that the parent at least tried to work things out, and that may give some assurance that a judge will not be terribly upset by the decision that parent made when the matter finally makes it back to court later. Similarly, if you're a parent who wants to see your children but is worried that you have been exposed to coronavirus, now is not the time to insist on your parental rights. There are no parental rights in Ontario. There are only parental responsibilities, and your children have rights. Your children have the right not to be placed in danger unnecessarily. No judge is going to be sympathetic if you hide the fact that you are a carrier of this virus and you put your children at risk of contracting it. However, as I noted at the beginning, if you are having difficulty coming to an agreement with your ex over what is in your children's best interest, then it really is a time for you to get in touch with a lawyer who can give you some advice based on the specifics of your situation. It is possible that lawyer can contact your ex's lawyer and they can work something out.
Why don't you have your lawyer call my lawyer?
Perhaps they can agree on a mechanism such as coordination or arbitration to work things out. At the very least, they will be able to give you some objective advice about what is in your children's best interest and what you should be doing. Don't get into a fight in front of your children and cause them even more stress and anxiety over this difficult time. Get in touch with professionals to help you figure out what is best for your children in light of the parenting situation and the extraordinary times in which we are currently living. If you need some more general family law advice, or you need to understand Ontario family law matters better so you can make better decisions, or if you need to better understand your options in all parenting situations after separation or divorce, or if you need some tips for how best to make these difficult types of decisions, get a copy of my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law. You can access it immediately on the iBookstore on Amazon for the Kindle version, or you can download it for Kobo. Amazon can deliver the paperback version directly to your doorstep. You can also get a lot more Ontario family law information at www.humanlaw.ca. Not only are there hundreds of pages of family law information and links, but there are links to where to get my book and links to reach my office to meet with either me or one of my colleagues, because it is always best to get a lawyer who can give you expert advice that is specific to your situation. In addition to my website, keep up to date on family and children's law issues by liking my Facebook page, following me on Twitter at @humanfamily, and finding me on LinkedIn. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel and get the audio versions of the Ontario Family Law Podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or at www.humanlaw.ca. Thanks for participating in this podcast. We will get together again soon.